With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Saturday morning edition of the Zach Yelp Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 206, or the radio.com application. A four-hour great show for you, taking you all the way up until 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. You can hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You could also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Baccioni, and of course, James Graceffo on the other side of the glass, and we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up from an hour from now, we'll be joined by former NFL linebacker, now does a great job on the Vikings radio broadcast team, also does college football on Fox. Ben Lieber will join us. And then at 4 a.m. Eastern, we'll spend a few minutes with the former NFL quarterback, always does a phenomenal job when he's on with us, and that is Joe Theismann. So a whole lot to do. Where we will have to start the show, though, is with Tyreek Hill. And we'll sprinkle in some other things along the way as well. Usually when the NFL has a ruling in terms of discipline, I'm no longer surprised with what happens. It usually doesn't shock me anymore. And I usually don't have a great reaction because of the inconsistencies that we've seen over the years, whether it's been Kia Roberts suggesting no games for Ezekiel Elliott. He ends up getting six with Ray Rice. Oh, the NFL claims they never saw the tape. He gets two games. Then they see the tape and Ray Rice never plays again. And we could do this for days, even going back to Josh Brown. There was an incident at the Pro Bowl. Family had to be separated. They only give him two games. Then the diary, the journal entries comes out. And then all of a sudden it's more of a suspension and you never see Josh Brown play again. So usually when you have an off the field incident in the National Football League, I don't have a great reaction anymore because the NFL, it seems to me, usually just throws a dart on the board and wherever it lands, that's the formula they come up with on how to rule suspension. However, if you would have told me, with all that being said, last week that Tyreek Hill would have received no games, I would have been surprised. And even with what I just said, I was surprised by this yesterday when I'm perusing Twitter and I see the news break, whether it's from James Palmer, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, that Tyreek Hill will get no games. And at first you refresh it and you go, I'm looking at an Onion article. Is this a fake Twitter account? And then you see the blue check mark and you say, wow, Tyreek Hill really got off here with a zero-game suspension. So it's tough to be surprised with the NFL anymore, but here I am surprised that he got zero. And let me be clear. We don't know who broke Tyreek Hill's son's arm. Could have been Tyreek Hill. Could have been Crystal Espinal. Authorities do believe a crime did occur. They just don't know who committed it. And it's turned into, whether you've heard the excerpts of the audio or the entire 11-minute conversation that our friends in Kansas City did release last week, it's turned into a giant game of he said, she said. So if the NFL decided to suspend Tyreek Hill for zero games just based on that, that it's a he said, she said, there's no concrete evidence, we don't know who's responsible for breaking the arm, so we're not going to suspend Tyreek Hill, I would understand that. If it was just that, If they came out and said, we don't know who did what, and we're going to give him a zero-game suspension, I could at least comprehend that. However, there are other circumstances here. And that audio does exist. And you could spin it in different ways, pro-Crystal Espinal, pro-Tyreek Hill. However, something that I'll never be able to erase from my mind and from my memory when talking about this is that there was a prior incident back in 2014. Tyreek Hill, and this was before he played in the National Football League. It's when he was in college. He did plead guilty. And there was a prior incident with the same woman. And on the audio tape, you hear Tyreek Hill with a past in domestic violence say to Crystal Espinal, whether it was in frustration, whether it was in reality, regardless of what the circumstances were and how he explained it, there is that audio of him saying, you should be terrified of me too, and he uses the B word. And with that being said, and I said this last week, just solely based off that audio, I thought at a bare minimum, he was going to get 2 to 4 games, most likely 4 games. And then with the other circumstances at play, I thought this suspension could get as high as 6 or 8 games. That's what I was thinking. That it was going to be somewhere in the range of 2 to 4. And then if they were going to really want to send a message here, it'd be anywhere from 6 to 8. And it ends up being 0. And I don't care if you're a Chiefs fan or not, if Tyreek Hill is on your fantasy football team or not, whether you're happy or sad about this news today, it doesn't matter to me. But what does matter is that everyone, if you're being objective here and if you're being honest, everyone thought this guy was at least going to get a few games. And this is the classic NFL. Surprise, surprise, when everyone thinks something's going to happen, the complete antithesis occurs. Where we go from debating 2, 4, 6, 8, however many games you want, to now it's 0 games for Tyreek Hill. And I know you could sit there, whether you're in your car right now, or if you're in your bedroom, or wherever you're listening to us, and you may be saying, hey, Zach, well, what you just said, if there was a zero-game suspension because there was no concrete evidence, how could you give someone games for something he just said? Well, this is more of the inconsistency with the NFL because the Ravens defensive player, Jimmy Smith, just got suspended not that long ago for sending verbally, you know, for saying verbally abusive things to a former girlfriend. And he got 4 games. So this is once again the NFL having no guidelines. This is the NFL having no consistency. And you give Jimmy Smith 4 games and Tyreek Hill gets 0 games? And Tyreek Hill has a domestic violence past? It just doesn't make sense to me. And that's why, regardless of who you believe he said, she said, with no concrete evidence, okay, you could sell me on possibly talk me into 0 games. But with that audio existing, where he says you should be terrified of me too and drops the B word, well, guess what? There has to be some suspension. But here we are once again where the NFL is going to roll the dice. They're going to trust the player. The player cooperated. They believe that he's telling the truth. And they're going to put themselves in a corner where if some information does come out that changes this story and changes your perception of Tyreek Hill, and then there has to be a suspension. If we find out, you know, that he did in fact, break his son's arm, which he's denied the entire time, well, then the NFL will take the hit, and they'll go off and say, well, Tyreek Hill lied, we didn't have the info, and then in a few weeks, they'll weather the storm, and then it will go away, and we'll all go back to watching football. Because let's be honest, as irate as we could be on this situation, and trust me, I've screamed about this, I've ranted about this, you know, I've gone on rants about this situations about, you know, in the past. And it really upsets me because there are a lot of great people and the National Football League. And unfortunately, because of what happens off the field with some, it puts the people that are great in this National Football League away from the spotlight, and we focus so much on the negative storylines, and that's a real shame of it. However, with that being said, this is the NFL saying, all right, we'll roll the dice on this, and we'll see what happens. And once again, I don't know if he broke his son's arm or not. I don't know who to believe anymore in this situation or not. But based on that audio alone, he should have received a suspension. And I'm fascinated to find out what Tyreek Hill said in these meetings. What made the NFL, from Tyreek Hill's mouth, convince them that, you know what, we don't need to give him zero games? And how did he explain the "you should be terrified of me too" line? And some questions I would like to know the truth from. And I hope when Tyreek Hill does speak, because he's going to return to the team, and we'll see if he will address the reporters in training camp, but you have to think he will do so eventually. I want to hear a truthful response. And the responses that I want to hear are questions that should be asked. Number one, how did your son's arm break? Because no one knows about this. No one knows how it happened. But I want to know how his son's arm did break. And I'm fascinated to find out how he answers that question. Also, things I want to know. Why did Tyreek Hill tell Krista Espinal in that recording that she should be terrified of him? Also, Tyreek, why does Krista Espinal say that your son said daddy did it, and referring to how the son did break his arm? I also want to know if Tyreek Hill has ever hit his son. Because after hearing some of that audio, you would think he has. And then another thing I would like to know, and it's a personal situation, but this is a public situation, I would love to know, because Tyreek Hill, in the full audio that we heard, claims that he did nothing wrong in the 2014 incident. I would love to know, with Tyreek Hill claiming that Krista Espinal ruined his life, then why did he stay with her? And not only stay with her, why did he get engaged to her, and why did he have more kids with her? Because if someone lied about a situation in 2014 and said that I beat up that woman and I was in that relationship, I would leave the relationship. I would want nothing to do with that woman. And this is a toxic relationship. We'll play you some of the audio later in the show. And the unfortunate part about this is a innocent child had his arm broken. And that's the real shame of this. And Tyreek Hill now gets zero games. Is it the right call? Is it the wrong call? I think it's the wrong call. And I think it's the wrong call because of the audio that does exist. You had to do something. And the NFL is going to trust their star player, and you better hope it doesn't blow up in your face. And even if it does, it will be a distraction. It'll be talked about for a little bit. People will be outraged, but we'll all go back to watch. Because the NFL is the greatest drug on this planet. Look at what this league has gone through. Murders, DUIs, domestic violence, drug use. They've gone through everything. And we all keep watching because there's no sport better than football. So where do you chime in on this? We'll give you the number 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Did you think the NFL got this one right? I don't. And I'm shocked that it's zero games. And like I said, nothing really surprised you with the NFL anymore in terms of discipline. This one, though, I said, really? Zero games? After all this speculation, yes, I'm surprised it's zero games. If you gave him two or four games, sure, it would have been looked at as light. But it would have been something. And he got nothing. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
That's right. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So the question that we are asking you to start the extravaganza is did the NFL get it right on the Tyreek Hill no suspension today? No punishment to Tyreek Hill. I think they got it wrong. And like I said in the open, there's one thing to give him zero games without knowing what exactly happened to Tyreek Hill's son's arm. However, then there's that line on the audio where he said, "You should be terrified of me too, bleep." And he said it to the woman that he's already had a domestic violence past with and he's pled guilty to. To that charge in 2014. So just based on that alone, Jimmy Smith got a 4-game suspension because of things that he said verbally to a former girlfriend. Why doesn't Tyreek Hill get a 4-game suspension as well? But that's the NFL. They have no consistency with this stuff. And also, they think we're stupid. Let's be realistic. They know how much power the NFL has. And they know how much money they make. They know we always keep on watching. They know we will always buy tickets and get jerseys. They think they could say whatever they want. Because really, with this case, you know that there is damaging audio. And you can interpret that audio in multiple ways. And you could take sides when you listen to the full audio. But that one line, there's no changing that. I don't care how he justifies it. That one line shows me Tyreek Hill did not learn his lesson from 2014. And notice how the NFL, I'll read you the statement the NFL released on this in just a second. Notice how they didn't bring that up. Because they know that's what the backlash would be. And this is the NFL trying to control the narrative, control the agenda, and tell you and I that we're stupid. We're going to say zero games. We'll tell you why we gave them zero games. But we're going to leave out a big detail of this. So here's the statement from the NFL. Over the past 4 months, we have conducted a comprehensive investigation of allegations regarding Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Throughout this investigation, the NFL's primary concern has been the well-being of the child. Our understanding is that the child is safe and that the child's ongoing care is being directed and monitored by the Johnson County District Court and the Johnson County Department for Children and Families. In conducting our investigation, we have taken great care to ensure that we do not interfere with the county's proceedings or compromise the privacy or welfare of the child in any way. The information developed in the court proceeding is confidential and has not been shared with us, and the court has sealed all law enforcement records. Local law enforcement authorities have publicly advised that the available evidence does not permit them to determine who caused the child's injuries. Similarly, based on the evidence presented available, the NFL cannot conclude that Mr. Hill violated the personal conduct policy. Accordingly, he may attend Kansas City's training camp and participate in all club activities. He has been and will continue to be subject to conditions set forth by the district court, Commissioner Goodell and the Chiefs, which include clinical evaluation and therapeutic intervention. And if further information becomes available through law enforcement, dependent court proceedings, or other sources, we'll promptly consider it and we'll take all appropriate steps at that time. Here's that statement. I'll give you the translation. We're not suspending Tyreek Hill. We weren't given all the evidence in this case. And if further information becomes available that makes us look bad here, well, we're just going to tell you that we didn't see that evidence. We never knew about it, and Tyreek Hill lied to us. That's how you interpret that situation. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you could also interpret it by saying the NFL is going to say, you are stupid, and I'm stupid, and everyone's stupid, because we're just going to ignore part of the audio where he's threatening Crystal Espinal. Let's just leave that out. And the explanation for that is because they think you're stupid. And they know they have all the power. They know they can control the narrative and can control everything in this case. Why? Because they have a product that we all crave. And no matter what happens, we love it, we eat it up, and we watch. Because I can't go through a football Sunday or a Thursday night in football season or a Monday night in football season without watching some of the game. Because it's that addictive. All right, let's hit up the phone lines. 855-212-4CBS. We'll take one before the break. Mary Ellen is calling from Virginia. Mary Ellen, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Well, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, we've got a kid with a broken arm, and we've got one person that's sitting here making blatant threats. And you know, we've got the NFL that is looking the other way, and this stinks. And we've got nobody that is being taken to the woodshed over it. And it's a bunch of garbage. And like you're saying, we're being lied to, and we're being called stupid. And I think I agree completely with you that the NFL is, you know, when they're saying they've done a comprehensive review of this, I don't agree with it because the kid's arm didn't just, you know, it was broken. Somebody did it, and all indicators point to his father, and to not assign any take him out of any games is ridiculous.
To be fair, Mary Ellen, I appreciate the phone call. Indications point to the mother and the father because it's a toxic relationship and it's a battle of he said, she said. So the NFL is going to do what's convenient for them. They're going to look at this. They're going to ignore one big audio clip. And they're going to probably eventually when the commissioner is pressed on it at the Super Bowl, if it's still relevant, or ever he next makes himself available, which he usually doesn't make himself available, he'll have some type of BS answer where it won't reveal anything. And I want to know from the commissioner's mouth, why wasn't he suspended just based off what he said? Because as I've been saying, and I know I sound like a broken record player, there's one thing not to suspend him because you don't know who committed the crime. Then there's another thing to not suspend him because he's had a past, even though it was before he entered the league. And then he said, you should be terrified of me too, and called to the B word. How do you let him off on that? You can at least tell me on the first part that we don't know who committed the crime. But in the past with the NFL, you don't need clear evidence. More probable than not, does that ring a bell? Ezekiel Elliott. Kia Roberts said zero games. He got six. So when the NFL has a discipline situation, you never know how it's going to end. And you never know what the end result will be. But this is them wanting their superstar on the field, wanting an entertaining product on the field, Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, and they're going to roll the dice here. Because once again, in reality, even as frustrated as we get, even as PO'd and outraged as we display here on these situations, even if this comes back to bite them in the you-know-what, even if it does, we'll freak out and we'll forget. Because we all want to still watch football. And that's the reality of it. And that's why even the NFL, they constantly have a commissioner who makes millions and millions of dollars, and he always messes these things up. He gets away with it. Why? Because the league still makes billions and billions of dollars. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. Did the NFL get this right? I don't think they did. And I think a lot of people around the country listening are saying, you know what, Zach? They didn't get this right. But if you do exist and you say, hey, they got this right, I'd like to hear from you as well because I would love to hear how you explain that one. Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Greg Caserta with the latest CBS Sports update.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. He's He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
We'll take your phone calls in just a second as we're talking Tyreek Hill on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. I do want to refresh your memory since it's been a while. We heard some of the excerpts. Last week, you heard the full 11-minute audio. Let's go through some of these audio clips and the conversation that was recorded by Crystal Espinal and when she was discussing what did occur with Tyreek Hill. There's a bunch of different layers to this. I'm going to play you four clips, and then we'll take your phone calls in this segment as well. And Ben Lieber going to join us at the top of the hour. Baccioni, let's play cut one, please.
Because we were getting into it, and he said, Daddy, you're me. So we walked up the stairs. Right. You said, come back down here.
Right.
And he didn't want to go down there. But right. I was like, go down there right. because it'll end up worse for you.
Right.
So he walked down there, and then you were getting on his ass about.
And then you said something, right?
No, you kept getting on. And then he started crying. And then you were like, shut up, stop crying.
Right.
Stop crying.
Right.
And then he kept crying because he was scared. He's terrified. And what, you grabbed onto him somehow, or he fell, one of the two.
I didn't do nothing. That's sad, bro. That is really sad.
Then why does say Daddy did it? Why? Why does say Daddy did it?
No. He says Daddy does a lot of things.
Like what? A 3-year-old's not going to lie about what happened to his arm.
Shows you how toxic that relationship really is when you hear that. Because it starts off with the kid walks away. Tyreek Hill calling for the kid back. Kid clearly doesn't want to go back. Mom says it will end up worse for you to a 3-year-old. Think about that for a second. Then, according to Crystal Espinal, Dad either grabbed the son or the son fell, and that's how the broken arm did occur. Now, to be fair to Tyreek Hill, he said he did nothing wrong in that clip. And then, according to Crystal Espinal, she raises a fair question. Then why does the son say that Daddy did it? Let's hear audio clip number three.
And even that CPS lady says that it's you don't do it correctly.
Okay. I will listen. But like I said, though.
No, but you're not listening to me. Think about why a freaking 3-year-old would tell everybody and anybody that you broke his arm. Why would do that?
I'm the one that plays with him. Maybe that's why. You don't do with him. I'm the one that get physical with him.
No, I play with a hell of a lot more than you do. You just sit on your game all the damn time.
That's right. That's all the need to do.
So don't sit here and tell me I don't play with.
You're right. You're right, bro. Like I said, I'm sorry for whatever happened. I obviously this wasn't a match made in heaven right here.
Once again, shows you how toxic this relationship is. 3-year-old has a broken arm. You have the parents fighting over who plays with the son more. And that's why I would love to know the answer from Tyreek Hill. Crystal Espinal claims that your son said that Daddy did it. Is there truth to that? Did authorities claim that was true? What's the answer there, Tyreek? Why does Crystal Espinal claim that your 3-year-old son said Daddy did it? And his explanation could be, well, she's a liar. Look what's happened in the past. And even though I had to plead guilty for things, it's not true. And he could have really presented that case and maybe made a compelling argument. I just really don't know what he could have said in that situation, and then justifying the audio that we'll play for you in a little bit, where he intimidates her, how he gave a good enough answer to get a 0-game suspension. Let's play actually four right now, because it brings up that last part that we're talking about.
Kept saying, Daddy punches me, which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out and you
okay,
do.
Okay, so what about you? What you don't do? You also, I'm just gonna take
no,
it.
No, I told him that he gets whooped. I told him that he gets whooped, but I don't use a belt, which is totally
you
different.
You do use a belt, and that's sad. Even my mama said you use a belt.
When have I used a belt? When have you seen me use a belt with? When have I used a belt?
Got it. See, there you go, getting loud. You want everybody to see us in the world.
No, I don't. But I'm asking you.
Thumbs up, Crystal. Thumbs up to you, bro. sometimes I just wish I would away. I wish I would have never had sex with you. I wish I didn't know that. None of that. I wish we could have kids. Like, my life is supposed to be a whole lot easier right now, bro. 2014 was supposed to happen. None of that. But I put my hand around your neck. But I broke my son's arm. Come on. Let's be real, bro. Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real.
You know how I am with kids, and you know how I am with. I'm very hard, but I would never ever hurt my son in life. Cause look,
he is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect. Me. It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me too. That's why you can't keep the man.
Once again, it's a he said, she said. You punch the son, you hit the son with the belt. No, you do that as well. That's what they're arguing about when a three-year-old has a broken arm. And then the last part, the audio speaks for itself. Already had a pass, 2014 incident, pled guilty to it, and then he threatens her again. Is it out of frustration because it's lying, or is that just who Tyreek Hill is? All right, final audio that we'll play, then we'll take your phone calls, 855-212-4CBS. Let's hear audio clip number two that does detail the situation where Tyreek Hill claims that Crystal Espinal lied in 2014, and the lying does continue here with the latest incident that resulted in a three-year-old breaking, you know, having his arm broken.
You ruined my life and you lied on me in 2014, bro. And if you want to rewind that night, we can rewind that night too. You was in my house, and did I pick you up and slam you? Hell no, I picked you up and put you out my door, and after that, you left. And on my son, you did that, bro. And then when you get in the courtroom, you want to sit up there and cry on the stand. He hit me. Man, come on, bro.
Then where did the bruises come from, Tyreek?
Did I hit you?
Where did the bruises come from?
Did I hit you, though?
I'm asking, where did the bruises come from?
Did I hit you, though? Did I hit you? Tell the truth. Tell me the truth in my
eyes.
Right
no, you're not. You're not thinking about what had happened.
Look at me.
Not thinking about that.
No,
right
no,
now, the
no,
issue
no,
is.
No, we're gonna handle both of these issues right now. Why this on my chest? Because it still hurt over that, bro.
And you don't think that this hurts me?
And when you walked outside and turned around, what you had said? Are you sure you're done with me? And what I had said? You can go home. And we done. And
no,
on my.
You didn't do that.
So there you go. That audio doesn't make Crystal Espinal look good. It doesn't. Because he gives her numerous chances to explain herself, and she doesn't do so. So, at the end of the day, a three-year-old has a broken arm. Could have been an accident, as has been discussed. Could have been from Tyreek Hill. Could have been Crystal Espinal. We don't know. But there's parts of this that, man, it's really cringeworthy. It really is when you sit back and listen to it.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. He's up late to hang with you. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Also, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by our good friends at GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save some money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Joe Theismann got me thinking when he joined us for almost 20 minutes a few moments ago about what's going to happen with the three first-round quarterbacks from this year's draft. Now, Joe made it very clear. If he was in charge of the Washington Redskins, if he was Jay Gruden and the leadership team with the Washington Redskins, he would not start Dwayne Haskins under center in week one, no matter what. And his explanation was because of the fact that he's only played 13 games, probably not going to be ready, and also, more importantly, look at the schedule of the first five games. At the Eagles, home against the Cowboys, home against the Bears, at the Giants, home against the Pats. Then after that, schedule gets a little bit easier. At Miami, San Francisco, at the Vikings, at the Bills, a bye week, and you get the Jets and the Lions at FedEx. So I could understand that argument. The one thing I would say, and I did bring this up to Joe, well, if Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback in training camp and in the preseason, if he wins the job, then I'm playing him. I don't care who the schedule is. What will most likely happen, though, and I don't think they'll start Colt McCoy week one. He's just not good. At least Case Keenum has displayed before he could get a team to an NFC championship game. Now, he threw up all over himself in that NFC championship game, and he was not good last year. So there's still questions if Case Keenum can play and play well in this league, but at least he's proved it in the past. So I believe that most likely the Redskins will give Haskins some time, will trot Case Keenum out to the field, let him be a punching bag against the Eagles with Fletcher Cox, let him be a punching bag against the Cowboys with DeMarcus Lawrence, let him be a punching bag against the Bears with Khalil Mack, probably wait for the Giants and the Pats, and then after the Pats, probably Dwayne Haskins playing October 13th or October 20th in Miami or home against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, if they get off to a good start, and the Redskins had a good team last year, very good in the front seven, and they just had the quarterback injury, the gruesome injury with Alex Smith, and then McCoy got hurt, and they had to go to Mark Sanchez. So maybe they get off to a good start. I'm not expecting it, though. I think this is going to be a two-team race. Can the Giants and Redskins make some noise early? Maybe, but long-term, this is going to be the Eagles and the Cowboys division. That's who's going to determine it this year. So for Haskins, if you want to wait a little bit, if he's not the best quarterback coming out of camp, coming out of preseason, you want to throw Case Keenum to the Wolves, go ahead. But if he is the best quarterback, I'm playing him week one. So that's, I think, the Haskins thing will play on out. First 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you'll see Keenum. If Keenum gets hurt, then you'll see McCoy. And you'll eventually see Dwayne Haskins for the rest of the season from week six and on. Maybe week seven, who knows? Now, for the other two first-round quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and then also Kyler Murray. For Daniel Jones, I think it's very simple. The Giants have shown blind loyalty to Eli Manning. They've had every opportunity to move on. They haven't. And it all stems back to what happened a few years back. McAdoo not going to Davis Webb, going to Geno Smith. The fan base was not, you know, didn't approve of that. And ever since then, the Maras, the Tishes, and the entire Giants organization don't know how to move on from Eli Manning, because they never had another alternative in place, really. Sorry, Kyle Oletta was just a talking point. Davis Webb was just a talking point, and et cetera, et cetera. Now you have another option. Now, it may not be a popular option, because there's not a lot of Giant fans that were enamored and in love with the pick of Daniel Jones at number six. But the reality is, you take a quarterback at number six, he will eventually play. Now, how much is he going to play this year? I think it depends on two things. Number one, how bad is Eli Manning going to be? And then also, what's the Giants' record going to be? And I don't expect the Giants to be a very good football team this year. Now, they improve their offensive line. They have Saquon Barkley. You get rid of Odell Beckham. You bring in Golden Tate. A lot of questions on that defense. I don't know how much you can expect out of the Giants this year. Now, schedule isn't terrible. Cowboys, Bills, Bucks, Redskins, Vikings, Pats, Cardinals, Lions, Cowboys, Jets, Bears, Packers, Eagles, Dolphins, Redskins, Eagles. So maybe you could be a little bit better than what you thought. But if this team's going to be 6-10, 7-9, or maybe at best 8-8, 9-7, eventually you got to think long term. And if Eli's not playing lights out football, which why would you expect him to be? You have a late bye week, week 11. You probably don't want to play him against the Bears or the Packers. You're going to start him divisional game against the Eagles. I don't know about that one. Maybe the last three games you give it to Daniel Jones and you have a little changing of the guard. Dolphins, Redskins, Eagles to close out the year. If you want to go a little bit earlier than that, let's say Eli and the team gets off to an awful start. Maybe after the Pats game in October, you let him play against the Cardinals and the Lions. So I think you'll eventually see Daniel Jones. For how long, I don't know. But I don't think the Giants will be that good. So therefore, you'll see Daniel Jones. Would I expect it early? No. Possibly in the middle of the season, but most likely towards the last three, four games of the schedule. Now, here's the one who I do believe we'll see start week one out of the first round picks of quarterback, and that's Kyler Murray. You have really no alternative. You're not going to put Brett Hundley in there. You're not going to put the Princeton product in Chad Kanaf under center. The Cardinals made a decision to change their entire organization. And Steve Keim, time's ticking. You got rid of Steve Wilks. You got rid of Josh Rosen after 1 year. You bring in Cliff Kingsbury, who was not a popular hire, couldn't get it done in college as a head coach, and you draft Kyler Murray number one overall. If you're the Cardinals, there's not that strong veteran presence like a Keenum. Hundley is a bad quarterback. So I think you have to start Kyler Murray week one. There's not high expectations. And I think you will see him. Because, what, Hundley in 2017, when he played for Rodgers, he was 11 games, 9 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Do I need to see that week one? No, I don't. You can at least talk me into Keenum. You can talk me into Eli Manning. They have history. Hundley and Kanaf, no. No bueno. So I think you'll see Murray week one. And we'll see what that offense is going to look like with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. Now, their schedule early on, Lions at Baltimore, Carolina, Seattle at Cincy, Atlanta at the Giants. That's through week 7. Week 8 and on at New Orleans, San Francisco at Tampa, at San Fran, bye week, home against the Rams, Steelers, Browns, at Seattle, at Los Angeles. So it really doesn't get that tough until week 13 and on. Now, Saints are a tough matchup. Divisional games will always be tough. Carolina, Baltimore, they have good defenses. Same with Seattle. It's not the end of the world, though, schedule-wise. No schedule is really ever easy in the league, but that's manageable. Will it be perfect for Kyler Murray? No. He has to stay healthy. But I do believe they're going to go with him week one because you make a big shift in your organization. And if you don't start in week one and you get off to this bad start, it's going to get ugly quick. So here's what I'll go with. Murray starts week one. You will see Haskins after the first 5 games. Maybe it's game 6 or 7. And then Daniel Jones the last quarter or 3 games of the season.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Yes, it is I, Zach Gelb, on CBS Sports Radio. Today at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, meet CBS Sports Network at the Lanes in Las Vegas for the Barbasol PBA Tour Finals as the top 8 bowlers in the league compete for this year's title on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Christopher, let me ask you a quick question. The other day, Aaron Boone lost it. He was arguing balls and strikes, wasn't happy with the strike zone, and he got tossed from the game, ran up to the umpire, told the umpire that his hitters are bleeping savages in the batter's box. The whole thing went viral. He ended up telling the umpire he's doing a terrible job and he feels bad for him. I thought it was funny. I thought it was great. How did you react to it, Graceffa?
I thought he tried to embarrass a young umpire.
So you thought that it was ridiculous and he shouldn't have done it?
I thought, listen, it was very early in the game. And they had just sat through a rain delay and they had just gotten postponed the night before. And it was a doubleheader. And it was game one of a doubleheader. Not everybody wants to play two in one day, right? To be fair?
Yeah. Especially baseball, with you never know when it's going to end and all that.
Right. So everybody's frustrated that last night was postponed and that the game had already started in a rain delay. So it's this first or second inning, you'd have to remind me. The umpire misses a couple...
Second inning.
So it's very early. So the umpire misses a couple borderline calls on the plate. Fine, it happens. Young umpire, too. Fifth appearance behind home plate for the young umpire. And I thought...
Do you have a range on how old he is, Dito?
I couldn't tell you. But he had to be... He looked like he was in his mid-20s.
You think he was in his mid-20s being an umpire?
Yeah, I mean, did you see his face?
I would say he's at least in his 30s to be an umpire in the major leagues.
He looked like he had never shaved before, this umpire. I felt, I got to be honest, the kid looked
like... Brennan Miller, by the way,
yes,
is his name.
I got to be honest, it looked like the kid had seen a ghost. And you know what? Boone is trying... Sometimes managers will try to massage an umpire to try to get calls to go his way. Boone wasn't having any of that. He felt no need to massage the umpire at all. Probably because of what I explained earlier, in the fact that the game was banged the night before, and they had already started in a delay, and they were going to play two that day. So he felt no need to massage the umpire. He immediately went after him, and he deserved to get suspended for making contact with the umpire. And, you know, everything you hear that managers say to umpires, you could see why he was suspended for the outburst.
I actually loved it. I don't think he should have got a single game. Here was the full transcript. We'll clean it up for you. My guys are bleeping savages in that bleeping box, right? And you have a piece of bleep start to this game. I feel bad for you, but bleeping get better. That guy's a good pitcher, but our guys are savages in that bleeping box. Tighten it up right now. Tighten this bleep up. I didn't think it was that excessive. Sometimes you hear managers say things that are absolutely ridiculous, and you go, all right, settle down. He just had confidence in his guys. He had a good starting pitcher on the mound. He wanted it to be a good game. He wasn't happy with the calls. And he said he felt bad for him, probably a little condescending and in jest, and he wanted the strike zone to be tightened up. So I didn't have a problem with it. I guess if you suspend him because, what, he touched the cap of the umpire?
He made contact with the umpire. Right. That's an automatic, you're done.
Do I think that it was intentional contact?
No, but again, it doesn't have to be intentional.
Yeah, I get it. You can't touch an umpire. I get that. It's like referees at the time Belichick ran off the field against the Ravens when he thought the kick missed. You know, it was a situation where he's trying to get his attention, so he had to make contact. In this situation, I think, you know, what happened was Boone was just going nuts. He was losing his you-know-what, and he got a little close to the umpire. I didn't think it was a big deal. I actually think this is good for baseball. I think it's extremely entertaining. Now, Rob Manfred doesn't like it, and this is him just coming off his loss. I get it. You're trying to market the games to kids, blah, 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 and it's not great for kids and all that. I think there's a lot of, let's say, 11, 12, 13-year-olds that probably did enjoy that, though. And they probably saw the full audio transcript on Twitter because maybe not a lot of them are watching the game when it was happening, especially because it was a day game. But we know the MLB doesn't like this stuff because you remember our former manager, Terry Collins, remember the whole ass in the jackpot stuff when you had Syndergaard and Kershaw in that game and Syndergaard threw behind Chase Utley. Years later, that rant went viral, and the MLB tried to scrub it from the internet, which I find comical because once something's on the internet, even if you take it down or instruct your people to take it down because you don't want the umpires to be mic'd up and part of the negotiations and all that, it's still on the internet. So I think these things are good for baseball. I do. I think it's entertainment. I think it's some personality. Was anything that Aaron Boone said offensive? I didn't find it to be offensive, but you feel differently on that one.
I thought he was trying to sway the umpire to make a call for his team.
And can you blame him?
No, because that's what everybody tries to do. But there are ways to go about it.
So how would you have approached this?
I would have tried to massage him. I would have tried to, you know, get
him. You're going to hand in stone and give him a massage?
No, I would try to go. You get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, okay. Right?
By the way, I have a massage coming up on Monday in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
the
I didn't mean a literal massage, you fool. I would. There are many ways.
You call me a what? Fool? What did you say before that?
A fool.
Oh, I thought you may have dropped the.
No. I wouldn't be on the air right now.
A four-letter word you couldn't say.
Yeah, I wouldn't be on the air right now.
With an ing, of course.
There are many ways that that managers can get calls for their hitters instead of.
But he already got tossed here.
I understand.
And by the way.
Which, by the way, he was trying to save Brett Gardner from getting tossed.
Here's the weird part of the video. You have Gardner smacking the top of the dugout.
Which, by the way, that was a little much, too.
And then Gardner's clapping his hands. He's loving it when Boone got ejected.
That was a little much for him. You're making a scene. Of course, you're going to get the umpire's attention when you're doing that.
You will say, though, this is good for baseball, though. When you see this personality in a sport that lacks so much personality.
They're good in their moment of time. No one is going to remember it a week later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but most likely are we talking about Yankees and Rays on national radio if it's not for this tirade?
Nah, and that's unfortunate because, it is what it is.
Hey, let's be realistic. In national radio, we talk about baseball in a few circumstances. When it's the All-Star Week.
Or when somebody gets in a fight with each other.
When someone gets into a fight, which
most
of the time.
Or someone gets suspended for drugs.
Yeah, most of the time it's the hold me back, bro nonsense. Or if someone gets ejected, or if it's steroids, or if it's the playoffs. Other than that, it's 162 games. It's monotonous at times. A lot of these divisional races aren't close. I get the Central's close. Other than that, it's basically just looking at the wild card. So there's not a whole lot to talk about. So things like this, it's actually good for the game.
Again.
But the baseball purist doesn't like it.
They're all moments like these are fleeting. You don't remember them a week from now. No one's going to remember when Aaron Boone embarrassed this young umpire.
I don't know about that. Like, the Terry Collins thing is still brought up.
That's because it was uncensored, too, and that video was never supposed to get out. And baseball had a right to try to scrub that video.
Yeah, but you can't scrub it.
Because it was never supposed to get out.
But it was good that it got out.
Sure.
Now, Manfred didn't like it, but...
Well, of course.
Manfred...
You wouldn't like it either.
His stock was in a good spot, and then he's lost me. He's up there with a lot of other commissioners that just lose you. Now, I won't be surprised when he hands out the trophy if he starts getting booed as well. If he hasn't already. All right, we'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, a decision has been made on Tyreek Hill. Do you agree with it or disagree with it? We'll get into that next, CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. Still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Time to play a little game we like to call onsides or offsides. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Onsides or onsides, or am I hearing things?
Yeah, you're hearing things. We play the same bet every week.
Maybe it's the new coffee I'm trying.
Yeah, I don't know what you got going on.
I'm not a big coffee drinker, by the way. This past week when I was at the Poconos, though, a buddy of mine gave me a cup of cold brew, and I enjoyed it. Never had a cup of cold brew in my life. So today I saw on the coffee machine here, you could go hot coffee or cold coffee. So I went with a little cold brew here.
Yeah, you're missing out with no cold brew. Cold brew's good.
I don't usually drink a ton of coffee, but when you do this shift, sometimes you walk in and you're like a zombie.
Eventually, you're going to start drinking more and more coffee. You keep doing the shift.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it for almost 2 years now.
Well, you know what I mean.
But there's some days you just walk in and you go, I'm out of it. I need a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Today's one of those days. Like, sometimes when the show ends, I'll hang around here for a little bit, chat it up. Today's one of those days I'm so tired. The minute it's 5:55, I'm out of here. I'm in the car, and I'm getting home.
That's me every time.
But I'm very happy. By the way, I'm officially moving to the city on August 20th. So a month from today, when the show ends, I'll be in my apartment in less than 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, you get to live the life like me.
Yeah, very good life.
It's good. Not going to lie.
Until Horowitz makes us just feel awful.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to do that anyway.
And he just degrades us over the life that we live. All right. There we go. Let's go. What you got?
All right. Michigan Wolverines head coach Jim Harbaugh made news this week as he called into question Urban Meyer's reputation on a podcast. Harbaugh insinuated the trouble has followed the former Florida and Ohio State coach everywhere he has been. Harbaugh then doubled down and said the comments made on the podcast were, quote, not a bombshell. So onside, offside, Jim Harbaugh's comments were out of line.
I'm going to say offsides. They're truthful in what he said.
I thought you were going to go onside.
There's a lot of controversy with what happened at Florida. We know what happened with Zach Smith and his handling of that at Ohio State. There's controversy. He's not saying anything that is
breaking news. I feel like you don't talk about other guys' programs, though. That's a little out of line.
Here's the thing, though. Here's where he was stupid for it. Now people are just going to say it's sour grapes because you never defeated the guy.
Correct.
So I understand that. Probably could have just shut up, but no, it's not out of line. He's being truthful, so I'll go offsides.
Offside.
Then again, what college football coach doesn't have a skeleton in their closet? You show me a college football coach.
Fair point.
Thank you. Moving
Maybe
on.
Maybe some illegal benefits in the khaki pants department. Maybe he was giving away too many khaki pants to players.
He stole a pair of khakis from Walmart and didn't get caught.
And gave it to the players.
And gave it to a player.
Yeah, because he could get as many khakis as he wanted and gets an endorsement deal
I've heard that. Moving on. The Broncos got an early start to their season as players reported to training camp this past week. Denver's quarterback situation is one of the most interesting in the league as they elected to trade for Joe Flacco and spent a second-round pick on Missouri starter Drew Locke. Locke got the attention of coach Vic Fangio this week as Fangio said that Locke looks more like a thrower than a quarterback. So onside, offside, Drew Locke will start a game for the Broncos this season.
Just one game?
Just one.
One little game.
Don't care how he does it. Injury, Broncos fall out of it. Drew Locke starts a game.
So in recent years, Joe Flacco last year, 9 games. Year before that, 16-16, 10, 16-16, 16-16, 16-16, 16-16. So for the most part, been healthy, had a few injuries along the way, had a dip in performance. I'm not huge on this Flacco movement to Denver. I don't think it really does much for me.
Well, it's just John Elway throwing more stuff at the wall.
I'm going to say, yeah, Drew Locke, I'm not going to say he's going to play more than one game and be confident with it, but one game because of injury or if a concussion.
It's week 17.
Or week 17, and let's say they're in the playoffs, or which would be a little bit of a stretch, or let's just say the team is out of it. You want to see what this kid has? Yeah, why not? Let's go Drew Locke. He'll play one game.
Onside. The Lakers' pursuit of Kawhi Leonard, of course, did not
go to plan. Nice custom sound effect, by
the way.
Thank you.
The Lakers' pursuit of Kawhi Leonard, of course, did not go to plan. Leonard, who looked like he was heading to the Lakers before deciding to pair with Paul George and sign with the Clippers, still drawn the ire of the Lakers. Brian Windhorst said during a recent podcast that the Lakers offered everything they could to Kawhi, and then he left them at the altar, which was the quote. Onside, offside, the Lakers should be upset they were played by Kawhi Leonard.
Offsides. They could be upset all they want. In reality, though, it's free agency. So if the guy sits there and tells you, I'll have a meeting with you, doesn't guarantee signing, and you know what?
He made them pull Magic Johnson out of cobwebs to have a meeting.
Oh, stop it. Magic Johnson enjoys that stuff. This guy shouldn't be anywhere near the organization with what he pulled over the last year.
That's fair.
And I get he's a legend and all that, but what he pulled over the last year was so petulant. Here's the thing, though. I don't want to hear about the Lakers being upset because they didn't get something to go their way when there's a lot of Pelicans fans that are probably upset with the Lakers that they stole Anthony Davis. LeBron snapped his fingers. Rich Paul snapped his fingers. Took some time, but they eventually got Anthony Davis to L.A. So I'll play a violin. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo for the Lakers. Go take your tissue and throw it in the trash. Yes, you got played. But you know what? It was a job well done by Kawhi Leonard. It's by the rules. It's free agency. So the question was, they should be upset?
Correct.
Offsides.
Offsides.
It's sports. Go cry somewhere else. I don't want to hear it.
Moving on, the Spurs thought they had a deal with Marcus Morris after seemingly agreeing to a 2-year, $20 million deal. The Spurs moved Davis Bertans to the Wizards, thinking that the Morris deal was done, but as we now know, the deal was not done, and Morris backed out and signed a 1-year deal with the Knicks, which obviously has the Spurs angry. Onside, offside, the Spurs should be upset with the Knicks.
There was nothing officially signed here.
So it's such a weird situation all around.
But here's the thing. I will go on sides here, and it's totally hypocritical with what I just said in the last statement.
Oh, you think?
But the reason I go on sides...
because it's the Knicks.
...is I would be upset. I'm Greg Popovich.
If you lost a player to the Knicks?
I am the Spurs. I get you're not what the Spurs used to be, but the player goes to lousy Knicks?
Well, apparently Morris didn't want to play for Popovich, was something that came out too this week.
Oh, okay, but he was fine enough to intend to go there originally. I would be upset just because it's the Knicks. If anyone picks you over the Knicks... It just shows you that's a reason to cry. So onsides, yeah. I'll allow the tears to flow there because it's Pop.
Seriously?
Yeah. Why not? You want to go play for James Dolan and the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus? That
last
time
I checked, Dolan's on the floor yelling out plays.
Okay.
Right.
So you have Dave Fizdale who'll be there for two more years, then they'll fire him eventually.
Right. Anyway.
Then everyone could go cry. Because that's what we're going to do right now in the NBA. Cry over everything.
The San Francisco...
And, you know, it's like the players, too. They cry over every foul. So,
San Francisco...
Let some be upset, some not be upset. Go ahead.
San Francisco Giants are the hottest team in the National League as they have climbed back into the wild card race, just 2.5 games back of the second wild card. The Giants, though, also have what may be considered the best trade ship, just 11 days until the trade deadline, and starter Madison Bumgarner. San Francisco maintains they'll be sellers at the deadline despite their recent run. So, onside, offside, the Giants should trade Madison Bumgarner.
You called the Giants the hottest team in the National League? I get they're 9-1 as of late, but
yeah,
over
9 out of 10's hot.
Yeah, but over a long stretch, the Braves are 59-40, the Dodgers are 65-35.
Giants won 13 out of 15.
All right, good for them. I don't care. That team's not making the playoffs, right?
Well, thanks to the second wild card, I guess everyone's in it.
Yeah. Give me the question.
The Giants should trade Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, they should. Because what are the odds that they're going to re-sign him next year?
Well, he's a lifetime Giant. He'll be a franchise player for the rest of his career there.
Do you believe they're going to sign him at the end of the season?
I don't know.
They don't trade him.
I don't know. I would lean toward they would probably not sign him just because of the wear and tear on him.
So therefore,
and a lot of he's pitched a lot of innings.
So therefore, you trade him. But here's
but
the
again,
problem.
They still have the sentimental value of he's been here forever.
But here's the problem. They're two games back. Maybe you get on a little emotional run because of the fact that it's Bochy's last year. The only two games back of the wild card, I just think Milwaukee, St. Louis, Washington, even though Philadelphia's not playing great, I think those teams are just better. So San Francisco, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. And you know what? I said they had no chance. They have a chance. No, I'll go back on that because they're close. But at the end of the day, I don't think they're making the playoffs. So I would trade Bumgarner. Fun show. We got to run. We're out. Zach Gelb Show. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Do you have frequent heartburn, like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere? You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets just in case heartburn strikes. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn, right? Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually simply not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.